Hey, everybody. The Air Raid Podcast is now sponsored by the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. They're one of the fastest-growing microbreweries in the Northwest, featuring the extremely talented brewmaster Skip Madsen. His breakaway IPA has become their number one bestseller. Stop by and find out why. You will not be disappointed. American Brewing Company. Drink domestic. Buy American.
I pose a conundrum to you. A riddle, if you will.
I don't want to hear it.
What's the difference between you and a mallet with a cold? One's a sick duck. I can't remember how it ends, but your mother's a whore.
That is so not true. I'm sorry. That is just...
No, I'm just kidding.
Terrible. Welcome, everyone, to the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, hey.
This is episode number 66.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series...
Stay thirsty, my friends.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom. Boom, everyone. We got a great show planned for you this week. Local Seattle country musician Shelby Earle is going to be stopping by Dining Room Studios soon. And we'll be talking to her about how she got started in the music biz. And all that good stuff. But of course, we got some things we need to run through before we get her on the show. We got a another iTunes review from Rubicon, also known as Ruben. Gave us 4 stars, though. That ain't very good.
Really. Heartbreaking!
But he says, great to have a local perspective on Northwest music, humorous and witty. Well, thank you very much, Rubicon. You can go to iTunes and leave us a review. We're trying, of course, to get to 100 star ratings and 50 written reviews. We're at, I think, like 32 written reviews and 35 star ratings. So get on that, yo. Helps us out, man. It helps us out in the long run. Just let me hold on just a second. Let me take a sip of this amazing American blonde ale. So good from the wonderful people at American Brewing Company up there in Edmonds, Washington. You can check them out at AmericanBrewing.com. Check us out too. We got 2 great websites right now. air-raid.noisebeam.com and then, of course, air-raid.net, the original website. And, check all that stuff out. We're available on Zune and on Stitcher. Stitcher, man. Stitcher is really taking off. And if you don't have the free app on your smartphone or iPad, iPhone, whatever, you're missing out because there are thousands, tens of thousands of podcasts that you can get stream for free on your mobile device there at Stitcher. So check them out, stitcher.com. And don't forget to friend us on Facebook, airraid.net. Whatever. Okay, plugs are done. Plugs are done. Let's get into this, shall we? Let's get started. Now that the intro music has panned out, we're faded out. God, that man. Let's start with last weekend. Last weekend, did the wedding thing, then went out with Thunder from Stack of Dimes and his beautiful wife, Anita, and went to watch some UFC fights up there, North Seattle area, and didn't, promise myself that I wasn't gonna drink too much. Then we ended up going down to the Mandarin Gate, which is very close to my home. I call Mairead on the phone, and I say, hey, look, I'm not going to be coming home anytime soon. She says, that's fine, right? Thinking that, in a couple hours I'll be home. Can I yada 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 this? To use a Seinfeld reference, can I yada 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 this? I think I can. Yada, yada, yada. 4 in the morning rolls around, and I come home. And, you know, went up to Goldie's Casino with Mr. Luke Burbank, which was a treat because he tried to teach me how to play blackjack. And then, you know, show up back at home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I think Luke got me sick. So all this week, I've just been feeling like crap. Just been feeling terrible. And I can't tell whether or not it's just because I don't go out like that anymore. And so that was like my liver and my insides going, dude, you're an idiot. Or was it because I actually had a cold and just, you know, couldn't handle it because I'm a big baby. One of the two. It's one of the two. I'm, you know, it's probably a mix of both because I am a big baby when it comes to getting sick, and I had to take a couple days off work. And, you know, I've just been, my insides have not been normal, okay? And I didn't want to get into this, but I see, you know, it needs to be talked about. It needs to be talked about a little bit. But, you know, I've just been, you know, this whole week just not working correctly. You know, from a number of things, like I just said, I was a little bit sick, and then I've just been eating like crap. I've been eating so bad lately. A lot of pizza in my diet this week. Lots of pizza in my diet. But anyway, I go, so this story's going to get bad too. I hope you're not eating anything while you're listening to this. But I go to because I work out in the wilderness. In a local city around the Seattle area, you know, I'm out on the road a lot, so I have to use, you know, porta potties, or park restrooms a lot, you know. And when you're drinking a lot of coffee, man, during the day, you know, you're planning your route, around, these different parks and stuff like that. And always, you know, these restrooms are not always the most sanitary. But I had a little bit of an emergency the other day, and I walked into this restroom, like scurried down to this restroom, walk in, and this guy is just coming out of the bathroom stall. There was only one bathroom toilet stall in there, in the men's restroom at this place. And he walks out, and he stops, and he looks at me with like a sign of terror on his face. And then he just like quickly, like, you know, buckles his belt and then takes off like runs out of the bathroom. And I'm going, oh no, I think I know what this means. I look into the toilet, and the toilet seat is covered in man poo.
No! Kelly Clarkson
indeed, my friends, covered. I mean, just, it was so gross. It was like this guy, you know, okay, let's help me get rid of the urban legend that you can get like syphilis from toilet seats or something. Because people, you gotta quit hovering over toilet seats, especially when you're gonna have an emergency. Just doesn't work. Or, you know, kick the toilet seat up with your foot and then hover over the you know, bigger circumference of the actual bowl of the toilet, right? Come on, man. God, I had to go so bad, though. I had to go so bad. And so I had to get, you know, I had to kick the toilet seat up and then do the hover myself. You know, I'm proud to say that I, you know, I made it. And I did a good job, okay? And no, I did not clean up after that guy. Of course not. That is ridiculous. But if I ever see that guy again, I swear to God, there's going to be words. There will be words, sir, if you're listening to this, which you aren't. You are a jerk. Anyway, so there you go. That's been my week. We are in, let's see, it's the first today. The day that I'm recording this is the 1st of October. And man, I love this season. I love October. I don't know what it is. Mairead and I went for a little walk this morning. It was kind of misting out, you know, and I was just in such a good mood. In such a good mood because, of course, as you guys know, the devoted listeners to the Air Raid podcast, I have core temperature problems. And in this type of temperature, this moderate, you know, it's like maybe 55, 60 degrees out. It's overcast, and it's a little bit misty. It was misty this morning, and I loved it. I was in such a good mood. Such a good mood. And, you know, maybe it's because I don't feel sick anymore, which is great on a Saturday. But I think partly it's the weather. It's kind of cooling down a little bit, and I'm happy about that. Of course, and this is my, okay, this is the thing. Like, when October rolls around and, like, the Halloween stuff starts coming out, I love it. I mean, I am a huge horror movie buff, and on days like today are great days to just, you know, go on to, like, Netflix streaming and just stream a bunch of shitty horror movies. Or good ones, you know? But yeah, it's that time of the season, folks. And usually, you know, Mairead was asking me to do this earlier yesterday. She was like, so what do you want to do for Halloween? I don't know. And that I answered her that quickly. I have no idea. Because I don't know. I don't know this year if we're going to go, we're going to make it out for Halloween. I made it out last year and I was a wreck the next day. It was a great costume, though. I'll tell you about it. I was a flasher. And Mairead sewed me this huge member out of nylon, stuffed with paper. And I would just run around. I had this big trench coat, and I would just run around, and I would flash people. But one of my favorite all-time Halloween costumes that I've done, because I had never, ever seen it before. The first year that I did this, and I've carried this one on throughout the years, but the first year that I did this, I was Ash from Army of Darkness and the Evil Dead movies, right? With the chainsaw hand and everything. Man, it was so cool. And it was such a great idea, too, because I had never seen anybody do that for Halloween before. Because it's kind of an involved costume. You know, you got to find a chainsaw and stuff and hack it off and then make the adapter for your hand and stuff. And so we go to this party, and there's another Ash there. What the shit, man? Since then, I've become friends with that guy. And he's a great dude. But yeah, I've used that Halloween costume over and over again because it's just perfect. And people get a kick out of it every time they see it because there's not a lot of people that dress up as Ash. And don't you go stealing my idea now. You cannot steal that idea. Well, you can. You can probably do it better than I did too. But anyway, you know, that was it. That was a great costume. But I love this time of year because all the horror movies are coming out. And just good stuff, man. And they got... for people that are listening out of the Seattle area, we have the Experience Music Project Museum, the EMP Music Museum, here in Seattle in downtown. They have an exhibit. They have now, like, part of the museum is all devoted to, like, rock memorabilia and music history and stuff like that. And then part of it is devoted to science fiction. So we have the Science Fiction Museum in that same building, and it's really, really awesome. And now they're doing this exhibit on horror movies called Can't Look Away, and I want to go see that. I love that stuff, man. For the longest time when I was a kid, I always wanted to do, like, special effects makeup and never really got into it because I'm lazy. God, that keeps on coming up. It's because I'm lazy. God dang it. Anyway. We're in the midst of it now, folks. We are here. We're in October. It's October 2nd when you'll be hearing this, or, you know, later when you'll be hearing it. I don't know. A lot of you guys download this show later in the week, so whatever. Whatever. But, yeah, okay. Let's get things started. We're gonna go with our first musical break here. Let's see. By Shelby Earle. You can check Shelby Earle's stuff out at shelbyearle.com. This is off of her, I think it's the first full length, but I might be corrected on that a little bit later, which is not out of the norm, I should say, for this show, right? but this is off the album Burn the Boats, which released... oh my gosh, you know what? It hasn't even released yet. It releases next month in November, November 1st, 2011 on Local 638 Records. That's the record label run by the beautiful Rachel Flotard, who you can hear on this very, very podcast a couple episodes ago. Well, more than a couple, but she was she had her band on here, Fist Queen. So anyway, yeah, you can't get this yet, but you're going to hear it here, hopefully, maybe second. You'll hear it here second. Yeah. This is, the song is called Legend of Persephone, and this is off of Shelby Earle's album, Burn the Boats. And when we get back, we'll be talking with Shelby Earle, maybe about her name, because that name just sounds way too perfect for a country singer. So, yeah, maybe that'll be the first thing we talk about, I think. Okay. This is Legend of Persephone, and stay tuned for more of the Air Raid Podcast coming up next with Shelby Earle herself. All right, we'll see you in a moment. Irish fire or Nordic glow. We haven't seen her lately, still I'd like to know why it's me.
Sometimes a history has been rewritten. Lover in her gold leaf with her siren's mouth nearly broke his heart.
All right, we are back, and joining us in Dining Room Studios is Miss Shelby Earle. Or is it Mrs.?
It's Miss.
Okay, I didn't see any ring on that finger.
It's a hard miss. No double meaning there.
Large, large period after that MS. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, welcome to Dining Room Studios.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. And let's see, right before we started recording, you mentioned that you threw up a little bit at Bumbershoot, before your show at Bumbershoot.
I did, in fact, throw up a little bit in my mouth.
Oh.
Not even...
Was it nerves?
Yes.
Yeah? Because it was a big crowd, right?
It was a big crowd, and it was really funny because we were getting set up. We played at EMP Level 3.
Okay.
And we were getting set up, and the room was empty, all but my dad and stepmom. And I thought, oh my God, it's the worst nightmare coming true.
Right, right.
And so we thought that's who we were playing for.
Yeah.
And then doors opened, and we didn't realize they'd been holding the crowd. So... the room filled up very quickly, and
then all of a sudden you were nervous for
really
a totally opposite reason. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really exciting, and so exciting that I threw up.
So how long have you been doing this? Because let me give you a little bit of my backstory.
Great.
Okay, before we talk about you, can we talk about me just a little bit more? This is my show.
That.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I kind of only became aware of you and your music just a couple months ago. You were playing, what was it, a Patsy Cline tribute?
No. Nope.
Did you do that one?
No, I did Bourbon and Broads.
Bourbon and Broads, okay.
Yep. Same promoter.
Oh, okay. Yep. So, yeah, I saw that coming around, and I was like, Shelby Earle. I was like, that she must be huge in the country scene. Because, I mean, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right before Curses. Before we went to the... Before we went to the first break, I was talking about you have the greatest country name ever, right? Is that your real name?
That is my real name, and it's definitely a blessing and a curse.
Because Why?
Because I am not a country girl. I am a straight up city girl. And it's so funny because making this record, I mean, I thought I was making like an indie pop record, you know, with folk leaning type of thing.
Right.
And I swear that because of my name, everyone hears country. They listen through that filter. And so I tried to fight it, and I kept saying, I'm not country. I don't play country.
Yeah.
And finally now I'm like, it's Americana. I don't know. I mean,
fuck it. Yeah, just go with it, right?
Like, I can't fight it anymore. So, and it's not that there's anything wrong with country. It doesn't feel honest. It wouldn't feel honest to me to call it that.
Yeah.
Those are my influences.
Well, okay, so I made a huge mistake then, because I kind of called it country. And it, like, you know, that song that we just came out with, or off the break with, Legend of Persephone, is a little bit more twangy. You know, it's got some twang in there.
There is a little bit. And this is what I'm learning, is that I don't hear what other people hear, so I'm coming around, I think, to the fact that some of that's in there.
And yeah, but you don't think it sounds like sludge metal.
I don't. I thought I was writing, like, folk songs. But obviously that's a fine line anyway.
Right.
I mean, they're three-chord songs. They're simple songs with an emphasis on the lyrics. You know, I work hard on lyrics, and that matters a lot to me. And with melody and, all of these things add up to a country song, just like they add up to a folk song. So,
but you're not singing about your like dead dog or
no,
the railroad.
No.
Do you have any songs about the railroad?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
It's not coming up.
Too late.
Coming up in the next album.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's delve into your past here, because we were talking about this a little bit too, before we started recording, is like where you used to work and stuff like that. But I want to start kind of at the beginning, and when was kind of the first time you picked up a guitar?
Guitar came around late.
Did you start doing then?
From a really young age, I wanted to sing, and it's hysterical.
I thought you were going to say like you played the recorder.
No.
It's like we all did, Shelby.
No, I did play some saxophone.
Oh, really?
In about maybe second grade, third grade, which you can imagine
that must
fantastic
have been awesome.
That was. My mom is really funny when she talks about it, because I just, like, out of the womb was like, I'm going to be a singer. Mm-hmm. I just want to sing. But there was no natural talent to speak of, like truly.
Yeah.
And so I just obsessed over it for 10 years. And my mom checked in with a bunch of voice teachers when I was young, and they all said, she's too young. You know, when she's about 11 or 12, then we'll talk. So for my 11th birthday, I was given voice lessons by my mom.
And how did that go?
Well, it was funny. So the first voice teacher was here in Washington. I lived here for my young years.
Where'd you grow up? Here in Seattle?
Olympia for 9 years. And then I was a couple years in Seattle. And then my mom remarried, and my stepdad lived in L.A. So we moved to L.A. when I was in seventh grade. And this is the funny bit is, you know, there, of course, I'm like, I'm going to be a pop star.
Yeah.
And
how old are you at this point?
Seventh grade. So how old are you in seventh grade? 13. So I auditioned, because, of course, in L.A., you have to audition to pay someone. To pay an instructor. So I auditioned for this voice teacher. My mom said that I slaughtered it. She said she was in the other room just cringing, thinking, oh, she's going to
like
be
the bad
so
slaughter.
Crushed. Yeah. I didn't crush it in the good way. I slaughtered it. So my mom just, you know, she's like holding her breath thinking this woman's going to turn her down. That's going to be a disaster. But the woman said, Shelby, I hear something deep down in there, and it would be my pleasure to help you bring it out.
Right. Which, we're talking like 20,000 leagues.
Under
the sea here. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. But that woman was pivotal. I mean, so she hung in there with me, and I worked my butt off.
Awesome.
Because it's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Side note, at the same time, I was dancing. I started dancing in L.A.
Like ballerina?
This is the funny part.
interpretive.
I was an inherently good hip-hop dancer.
You're like, you could have been in movies,
man,
at that point.
Dude,
like,
it's weird. Oh, I was dancing.
I think we were probably around the same age, and about 13 years old was when, you know, some of those, it was just starting to come out,
yes,
those, like, those
the
dance hip-hop movies.
Dance movies?
Yeah.
Well, I was, so I, you know, I was in L.A., and I was training at, like, the studios with, I mean, like, Carmen Electra used to be next to me in dance class.
You're kidding.
No. And, I mean, I danced with the hip-hop group Shy, and I did, you know, like, did all the stuff. But, again, all I wanted to do was sing, and I people kept saying, you should dance instead.
Yeah?
Because it's so weird. I mean, I am the whitest white girl.
You're pretty white.
You're pretty white. I am pretty committedly white. But I could dance. It was weird. So I did that for years, too. But my singing voice never matched.
Yeah.
My dance style. So okay. I was never going to be like the Britney Spears. I mean, I just.
Right.
But
that
I
was
have,
always
like,
kind of the.
Folk voice. Yeah, or, yeah. You know, this
but that was the aspiration was to become like a like famous pop star.
Well, it's what, of course, people I worked with in LA thought should be the route.
Right.
But in fact, I was in a.
Well, because indie rock wasn't, or folk wasn't in LA.
No, no. Those, not in, yeah, 90s. Times. Like. No, this it was all hip-hop, R&B, you know, and that's all I was listening to as well, which is so weird. I mean, it's like a different lifetime for me now, but yeah, I was actually in a girl group with one black girl, one Mexican girl, and me, and it was like...
Did you guys tour, like, malls and stuff?
We did. I mean, we like... Oh, yeah, I played... I am not kidding.
Yeah?
I did the full young... Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. Pop.
Oh, my God.
LA
no
thing.
Way.
Yes way. So, all of this
so
while...
glad I contacted you. Come on. This is amazing.
I bet your other like, Seattle artists aren't talking about
not at all. Are there like, YouTube videos? Can we find old videos
Thankfully,
of you...
Thankfully, no.
...doing this? Okay.
It's too long ago. Too long
man.
Ago.
Man. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I've got those VHS tapes, but...
I'll bet you.
Those
I'll bet you.
To me.
I'll bet you. Some of our listeners over in Norway and like Poland can probably.
They'll find a way.
They'll find something.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So there was that, and then I left LA, moved to Seattle to go to University of Washington.
Okay.
And that's
what
where
did you? What were you studying?
Communications and music.
Okay.
Communications and music, not in
no,
music.
No dance?
Although I started, actually my first year at UW, I taught a hip-hop class.
Nice.
Yes, which didn't
what
go
year
well.
What year is this?
Oh, come on now. You don't actually want me to say.
Yeah.
That was 94.
Okay.
So nobody in Seattle cared about hip-hop yet.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
That was
so
like
that
a bad
didn't
idea.
Go well. That
yeah.
did not go well. So that
the hell
was,
were you thinking?
That was short-lived. And then I actually joined a hip-hop group in Seattle called In Effect that I think still exists. You're giggling. He's laughing.
Mm.
Yes.
This is awesome.
So, but that was also short-lived because at the same time, I was meeting people doing original music, playing guitars, starting bands.
And
it... really started to change for me. I, you know, again, hip hop, I loved it, but it wasn't my main desire. So I phased it out basically, freshman, sophomore year of college and started playing guitar around that time. And then just post-college joined up with some other people and started my first rock band. It was called The Hope. And, but I did not play guitar in the group. I just sang. So it's just been in the last couple of years, really, that I picked the guitar up again.
Really?
And yeah. And I mean, I'm a pretty mediocre guitar player, but I love it. So I'm, you know, growing.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time with it.
It's a learning experience, right?
Yeah. And I play a lot of shows and I always play guitar.
Yeah. Well, so, I was going to say that, too. I mean, your name is everywhere right now in this city.
Yeah,
in particular.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Are you excited about it?
Absolutely.
I would be. I mean, it seems like Seattle is going through another kind of music kind of revolution. I don't know if you could call it like a revolution, but they're going through definitely another period of time where music is very, very important.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it actually ever stopped, but it did go through a lull.
Yeah.
Right? In like the, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. We had our death cab, we had our long winters, but then
it
just wasn't a whole lot else.
Right,
kind of
right.
Bubbling up.
But now we have, you know, there's all these like these folk kind of slash country slash what would you call it? Americana, I guess.
Yeah.
Bands that are coming out, and people are excited again.
Yeah.
About the music here.
They
in Seattle.
Are. It's awesome.
Yeah, and so you've been. I mean, you left out a big part there
which
of your
is?
Life, which is where you used to work.
Oh, right.
And what you used to do. So before you kind of went off and did what you're doing now,
yeah.
You used to work at Amazon, right?
Well, yeah.
Or was that kind of...
Amazon was my last stop
on a
long journey through the music industry, through
the other side
of the, you know, the actual industry side of the music industry. So out of college... I went to work for Experience Music Project before they opened even.
Yeah.
So I was there.
I was actually just talking about that at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
EMP
really?
Is doing a... Because I was talking about like this type of season.
Mm-hmm.
I love when it starts turning to fall in
too.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, because I have problems with heat. And
as in you overheat?
My core temperature. Okay. I talk about it a lot on the show. My core temperature gets a little hot.
Okay.
And I'm relatively hairy, and I just can't handle it, you know?
Yeah.
I can't handle it. But,
you live in the right place.
Well, I used to. Now with global warming, it's getting hotter during the summer, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And it gets super hot in this apartment, too.
I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. But they're doing this horror exhibit at the... Are you into horror?
I am not especially into horror, but I did see that they were doing it. And they'll do it well. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah,
It'll be super cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm way into it because this type of season, it always makes me want to like sit down on a Sunday and watch like 8 horror movies, like 80s horror movies, you know?
I could see that. I can get into that. Yeah.
See, I was hoping that you'd be into it, and we would just sit down, we watch like a couple,
after this.
Yeah, a couple zombie movies,
all right,
or something.
Oh, right.
I don't know if my wife would be into it, but you know,
well, why not?
Yeah,
we'll posse up on the couch for some horror.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so yeah, back to what you were saying. So you used to before Amazon, you were kind of you got into. I don't know, the other side of the music
industry.
The industry
side, right. Yeah, so I booked shows for years, and then I worked for a label for 3 years doing radio promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I went to Amazon. And, I mean, it wasn't that direct a route
through
all those jobs, but, but those
This isn't
the big
a linear...
ones. Yeah. We're not... Thankfully, there's no historian on the case right now, but then the last day job was at Amazon, where I was working on the music team and being sort of a label liaison for them and promoting releases on the site. You know, when you go to Amazon, there's all those little boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Promoting. People are writing those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was one of the people writing those for particular record labels. So it was a really cool gig, but my heart was just... elsewhere all the time.
Right.
My head was elsewhere all the time. I'd be in meetings like thinking up song lyrics and writing them on the underside of my meeting notes and stuff. Like,
see, when
truly,
I'm in meetings, so... my mind is just totally blank.
Oh,
like I'm
that...
just like, I just sit,
I know which guy
literally,
you are.
Yeah, I sit there like a mannequin and
just,
you know, maybe sometimes I'll put a grin on my face. Sometimes I'll just, you know, just straight up. You know, lips pursed.
Yeah,
or something like that.
I
but
know exactly which guy you are.
Yeah, there are cobwebs up there during some meetings. Sometimes I'm just playing solitaire on my phone. That's what smartphones, man, those things come in handy sometimes.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was also a lot of texting each other during meetings.
Like, doesn't this
at Amazon.
Suck?
This guy's full of shit. There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But so how do you went to school for this kind of stuff.
Right.
I guess, right?
Right. And I really love it, but yeah. it's basically I have these two passions.
Yeah.
And one of them, I mean, all those years that I was working those day jobs, I was helping local bands and I love promoting bands. I love helping out my pals.
Were you doing like postering and shows and stuff
well,
like that?
And I was setting up shows and I was trying to connect people.
It's kind of a hard thing to do here in Seattle too, especially if nobody knows who you are.
Yeah. Right? But that's also, I mean, I had this 20, this guy asked me yesterday, how do you get shows in Seattle?
Right.
And I was like, oh buddy, like you're so at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling that way, but I told him, I'm like, you just have to get involved in the community. Set up a show, set it up in your basement.
Set up
like,
a bill.
Whatever. Right? Yeah. Bring your pals in. And that stuff snowballs. It takes time though. I mean, so now, and you know, I had a job offer, kind of a dream job offer in New York, right? Like the day I gave notice at Amazon and, you know, had decided I'm going to be a full-time musician. I'm going to go for it. And then I mean, seriously, the dream job offer doing artist management for someone I respect a lot in New York. And there have been a couple of those throughout the years where I could have left, but the Seattle music community is what keeps me.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's so cliched because we're all kind of navel-gazing at the moment and proud of ourselves for our, you know, but like...
Somewhat true.
It is. Or as one of my friends said, there's a lot of smelling your own farts going on around here.
That's a South Park reference, I think, isn't it?
So good. It might be. I don't know. But there is a little bit of that going on right now. But but that's also just because people are excited and it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, music industry.
Well, I mean, you know, New York is kind of the same way, though, isn't it? I mean...
Oh, I'm sure.
You could probably do your same thing over in New York because they have, I don't know, Seattle and New York have always shared this line, you know, especially in the music scene.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know so much about like, you know, the rest of the arts community if they share those same similarities, but definitely the music scene has kind of shared these same, you know.
And I certainly... I could have found music community, and I have pals who have moved over there already.
Right, right.
But it was more about if I take that job, yet again, all I will be doing is promoting other people's music. Like this is, you know. And I finally just thought, enough is enough.
Yeah,
we've established I'm not married, so like I'm not responsible for anyone else. Now is the time to. You know, be all in, so to speak. So, so I turned down the dream job.
Yeah.
And went all in and made this record.
And now you're doing it. And
now I'm doing it.
You're signed with you're signed up with Rachel Flotard on 638 Records.
Yes.
Right? Or Local 638.
Local 638. Yep. Yeah.
She is a sweetheart. She must be really easy to work with too.
She is a fantastic woman. And she's easy to work with, and she's also just a go-getter. I mean, every time we have a meeting, she's got like five new ideas.
Yeah. Are you texting during this meeting? Are you zoning out or thinking up music lyrics
while
you're sitting in there?
This is a meeting I'm in. Yeah, like absolutely engaged in. I mean, we're talking about me in this meeting. It would be awkward.
Right,
if
the meeting's about me. That's when I start paying attention.
I'm texting my friends at Amazon. Wish I were there.
Yeah, yeah. God, the coffee's way better at Amazon. Let me tell you. All right, well, hey, we're going to go to our second musical break. We're going to go with Sing Low. And this is off your is this the first full length or?
This is my first full length. Okay. And actually, Sing Low, so I self-released the record earlier this year. We're doing a re-release November 1st.
Gotcha.
On
is it remastered? Or?
It is, and this is the new track. So Sing Low is not on the original release.
Gotcha, because I'm looking at your website right now and it says national release on November 1st, 2011.
Correct.
So maybe I had that wrong a little bit earlier. It has been released on 638, just nationally?
No. It has not. It's being released on Local 638 November 1st.
Got it.
So that's the only date that matters.
It's got to be this delicious American Brewing Company beer that I'm drinking here. Thank you so much for sponsoring the show. And it's, you know, Shelby's just drinking coffee right now. But
I might transition, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
We might be able to talk her into having some juice. All right, this is Sing Low off of the full-length Burn the Boats, which will be released nationally. Internationally? It's going to be available overseas?
For now.
Okay.
But, well, it'll definitely be on Amazon overseas.
Okay. Okay,
so,
great.
Yeah,
great.
Internationally. Yeah. Do it. Yeah.
All right. So, so check it out. Look for it on Amazon coming up here in November. This is Sing Low by Shelby Earle, and we will be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast just coming up in just 1 minute. We are back. That was Sing Low. And so Sing Low was not on the original release. It will be on this one. And you just want to make that clear. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a bonus track. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. And so like we said before, this is kind of remastered.
Yep.
And everything. So it will sound different. So if you already own this, you got to go out and get this new one.
That's
because
right.
Because it's different.
That's right. There's a new spirit behind it.
There's
Rachel Flotard behind it.
Yeah, man. Those curls have a lot. They have right. amazing power.
And if
amazing
you know Rachel, power. that's a lot of spirit behind it.
So, you recently played this tribute show for Susie Tennant.
Yes.
Was it all the songs from Nevermind?
Correct, yeah, from Nirvana's Nevermind.
Yeah.
So a number of bands, how many tracks are on Nevermind? Like 15 or something?
Yeah, yeah, 13,
something
like that,
15.
Yeah.
A different band did every song off
uh-huh,
the album.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a second set of all Nirvana songs.
This
and
was kind of like the
band.
Encore or something, or
it,
what?
It was. I mean, it was all booked together.
Okay,
But
yeah.
they just, doing just that one album would have been a very short show. So
right, right.
So they did
yeah.
the... It's Nevermind, the 20th anniversary of that album being released. So
yeah.
So they did the full album start to finish and then a little intermission and then, you know, another 10 bands or so
yeah.
did Nirvana songs. And so I got to do All Apologies, which is a stunner.
Yeah.
Which is not on Nevermind.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
yeah. That's on In Utero.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. How'd that go?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't...
It turned out pretty good. I watched
yeah.
I watched the YouTube video. So,
oh, cool. Yeah, yeah and I mean, I think it's been really crazy because I did the show mainly because Susie Tennant, who it was a benefit for, was
uh-huh.
one of my first bosses when I was at EMP. So
okay.
when I was
okay.
all, you know, fresh-faced and wide-eyed,
yeah.
Susie was my manager. And clearly, I mean, she was Nirvana's promotion person originally. She's clearly got a lot of experience.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And she was just an amazing mentor, and mm-hmm. she's an extraordinary person, which is why everyone came out. She's fighting cancer right now, which is why everyone came out to
yeah.
support her with this event. So that was the first piece of it. And our old coworker, when we were all on the same team together, is Andrew McKeag, who plays in the Presidents of the United States and is working at EMP again. So Andrew called me and said, you know, we're all coming together.
Yeah, come on and come and do this thing.
Yeah. And so, but I didn't realize, and Andrew didn't really either, that it was going to turn into such a big deal. I mean,
well, it sold out in like 2 days.
Yeah. And we knew, yeah. I mean, obviously Chris Novoselic of Nirvana was on the bill originally.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, he was
yeah.
part of the idea and the planning and everything. So that's a big deal. And we knew that was a big deal, but we didn't know about the 5 camera crane crew.
What?
Gonna be,
like it was professionally videotaped and everything?
Professionally. So the YouTube that's up right now was just someone's phone.
Right, right.
But it was filmed.
Well, the one that I saw that was posted on your Facebook page was...
Yeah, that's a YouTube... Or that's... Yeah, that's someone's phone or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That looked a lot better than somebody's
decent.
Phone.
I mean, it could have been a camera, but yeah, but that's yeah. that wasn't the
Maybe it was like a flip cam or some shit.
It, yeah. it might have been. Yeah. But the... The actual footage is beautiful. I don't know if you saw any of the live... So Livestream is the company that came in and filmed it. But it's really
And they
really
recorded
beautiful.
It, right? So that's...
They
is that available
it.
Somewhere?
So they own the footage. So
oh,
we don't
no.
know. Yeah, so we don't
what?
Know what's going to... I have no idea what's going to happen with that. But it was just crazy.
That's
kind of
fucked, man. They're going to like... They're going to charge people to
yeah,
watch that
are.
Shit. You
they
know
that. They definitely are. They
None of that's
are.
Going to Susie Tennant. So keep that
no,
in mind, people.
No, I know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, I mean, it was... It was just wild because like 3 or 4 days before the event, I saw Nirvana tweet, watch live the Nevermind
oh
anniversary
my God,
show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
all of us were like, ugh. I mean, yeah. Kurt Block of the Fastbacks,
yeah,
they
yeah.
Fastbacks played first. They played Smells Like Teen Spirit. Kurt Block backstage goes, no pressure, man. And that's Kurt Block. Like that
yeah,
dude,
yeah. Yeah.
he's been around the block and he was... terrified. I mean, we were all like, what?
No,
this
shit.
Happened.
Well, I kind of logged on to the, what is it? The live stream site,
mm-hmm.
like in the middle of the day, just to kind of see what was going on. Cause I didn't know it was going to be streamed
yeah.
until that point. And so I, you know, clicked on the website and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And people were already lining up on the stream
oh my
at like 2 o'clock
yeah.
that day.
Yeah.
To get on there because you know it was gonna I mean if Nirvana's, you know, Twitter was tweeting it.
Oh yeah, that's the
then
thing.
It was just gonna go nuts.
That's when we realized,
you know?
Okay, this is a bigger deal
yeah.
Than we once thought. I mean their
that's
Facebook
insane.
Their it's streamed live on their uh-huh. Facebook page, which has 13 million followers.
Right, right.
So
I wonder how many people can actually watch that because there's so many, you know, there's a very I am going to cut all this out right now because I'm having trouble finding the word. There is a finite amount of bandwidth that
yeah.
is available on one of those sites
right.
and so like, you know,
that's why
13
people were
million
lining up,
like
right?
oh yeah exactly
yeah.
exactly because you know like once a certain amount of people get on there it's going to be, you know, all kind of whatever.
Yes.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be that bad thing.
You know. Come on.
Yeah, but it's been crazy. Like, the well, first of all, the most exciting thing for me personally that happened was, and I think, so for context, everybody rocked all night. You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
everybody had full bands.
Yeah.
People who normally play acoustic played electric. You know, it's Nirvana. But then I got up and did
All Apologies
acoustic with a second acoustic guitar player.
Yeah, the guy from Shim, right?
Yes, Regan
yeah.
Crow, who's yeah. so awesome. But I think it
Guy's
was
tall.
The response. Yes. And the response was really intense, but I think it was because of the contrast of like, we've been rocking all night.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it was like a moment to
Wait, people
breathe.
Were yelling at you, right?
They were singing along. Like the
oh,
whole audience
oh, right, right, right.
sang
okay.
along.
Yeah.
There's actually a second YouTube video that is hysterical. It's all these like long-haired Hesher dudes,
yeah.
hands in the air, singing along with me. It's so great. But then, so, you know, in the context of the night, it felt really powerful.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, definitely. That's not patting myself on the back. I just think that song too is. So it was this sort of moment, but I still didn't realize that like I was going to hear about it again. And then
yeah,
I got
yeah.
my first shout out in Rolling Stone.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No way. That's awesome.
And they said the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And
what'd they say? What'd
they
say?
They said something about I cut out every facet every heart-wrenching facet of all apologies with like beauty and grace or something like that. Yeah. It was like, what?
You know what this is called?
What?
Navel gazing. How do your farts smell, Shelby?
Heart-wrenchingly beautiful. That's how.
That's
because
awesome.
Rolling Stone said so.
Yeah, that is so cool, though. Congratulations.
Yeah, so that's been wild.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been really cool.
Yeah, and now, I mean, God, it's just got to be exciting, too.
Yeah.
Coming, and meeting a lot of, like, your friends in Pickwick, Galen and Michael Parker. I was actually talking to him yesterday because we ride the same bus sometimes. And he's just so excited about, you know, where this is going and stuff like that. And so that always, it really interests me to hear from musicians, what that's like, because that's something that I never got to experience. And like, and when I was playing music and stuff so what is it like for you? I mean, you know, you keep on saying
glory.
That it's like, but yeah, the glory, right? I mean, you're seeing your name around and stuff, and and people know who you are, and you're getting all these shows. You're playing the Neptune, and I guess. Wait a minute, was that show at the Neptune?
Yeah, with Sarah Cahoon.
Yeah. And so you know these big names, and you're playing at the Sky Church in EMP in front of this huge like. Lit up screen and everything. What were they playing on that screen, by the way, when you guys were?
It was like clouds going by.
Oh,
if you,
lame,
yeah,
dude.
the other YouTube video, you can see the screen more.
Oh, okay.
It
okay.
looked like
yeah, because this clouds. The one that I saw was like from the side. I was looking at you and Reagan from the side,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think I even heard like people singing along. So I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
it was like plugged into your mic.
It might have
like
been
that.
The other side of the room mostly, but.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's funny because when I was in my first band, we made a record with Martin Fevier, who owns mm-hmm. Jupiter Studios, and we hadn't done much else. We made a record first, and it was a great record. Like it was really beautiful, and Martin is an amazing producer, and so we made this thing, and then at music industry at large. Caught wind of it, and this little firestorm started, but it was only on the industry side. We didn't have a fan base yet. Columbia Records was sniffing around, and like people were flying out, and we got this big fancy lawyer, and all this stuff happened. And I remember at that point just feeling terror. Like
they're gonna find out that we don't have any fans or
exactly.
You know,
it
like
was
that. Yeah.
It wasn't. The right timing. It wasn't the right ensemble at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're great friends and we've stayed great friends and everything, but it just wasn't right. And there's something about this time in my, like this time around. And it's not like Columbia Records is, you know, I mean, it's a more calm progression. It feels more honest.
Right.
So I'm still really excited when I get a good show offer. I just got two shows confirmed this week that I'll announce very soon, but that are super exciting for me. But I feel like now I know I can also like do it, you know, I can show up and be present and live into it. And it's not terrifying anymore.
Yeah.
It's
and
just
is there a part
thrilling.
Of you that feels like it's a little bit more real this time?
Absolutely.
Or something?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And part of that is that in my last band, I wasn't doing any of the songwriting, and my songwriting partner, Katie Fries, is amazing. She's brilliant. She's a brilliant mm-hmm. songwriter, but it was not ultimately totally my voice, you know? And so this time around, it was when that band broke up that I sort of took a step back and looked at the whole thing, thought, do I even want to do this anymore? And then songs started coming, and that sounds like sort of annoying, but like truly it was because I just chilled out, I think, for a minute and thought, well, maybe I'll just do this for my own enjoyment now. And you know, that'll just be the, and like my first solo show was at an ice cream social for some pals. Yeah. Seriously, literally. And Mike Knotter from Shim played with me.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, and I was completely terrified because I hadn't been playing guitar and stuff. So it's just been a really honest progression, and it's just thrilling. I don't know. I mean, every bit of it is exciting. So
well, I'm excited for you. And every time I see your your name around Seattle or wherever else now, I'm going to be like, that's her real name.
That is her real name.
Shelby Earl is her real name.
Imagine that. Yeah, actually.
That's what it says on her birth certificate.
That's right. Well, so you've got my website up here. Uh-huh. If you look at the letter from Ann Powers that I just posted,
the last
line says, and yes, Shelby Earl is her real name. It's not her fault. It looks so good on the front. Album.
Oh, man. I didn't even read that. Yeah. So I'm not the first person that's actually even asked you that.
No, but...
Damn it.
But I thought that was pretty funny. It's not her fault.
That's great.
It's my parents' fault. Although my dad... check this out. My dad... So I was born on leap year. And my dad wanted to name me Leap Earl.
Oh.
Yeah. That would have gone differently.
Yeah, yeah.
It all would have gone
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom, good for save. Putting up the good fight yeah. on that one.
Good save, Mom.
Well, excellent. Well, let's pimp your wares here, and what's coming up for the future here?
Yeah, so the next big date on the calendar is October 20th, mm-hmm. City Arts Festival. I'm playing at the Crocodile with the Felice Brothers and Gil Landry and Gabriel Mintz. Gabe is a local songwriter who's really, really killer. That show is going to be a good one. That's going to be really, really fun. I'll have a full band with me for that one. And then the next one on the calendar beyond that is Reykjavik Calling. It's a KEXP event happening at Numo's on October 28th, where four local songwriters partner with four Icelandic songwriters.
Okay.
They did the event last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, Roderick and Flotard played it last year. And it had great experiences. So that's going to be a really special
night. So wait,
you actually
like write a song with these dudes from Iceland?
You know, I'm not sure. We each do, I don't totally know how it's going to go yet. We each do a few of our originals.
Okay.
And then we collaborate on one, quote unquote. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that means write one together or collaborate on one of our originals. You know, I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
But
you're going to have to tell me how that goes. Because
I will. And I will tell you also, I don't think I can announce the names yet. But the other Seattle artists on the bill are really exciting.
Oh, good, good. So excellent.
It's one to look for.
Well, we'll be looking for that. Yeah.
Cool.
And then your website, ShelbyEarl.com, and you're going to be, you said a little bit earlier that you're going to be announcing some shows that are coming up.
Yes, I will be hitting the road in November.
Oh, excellent.
So, and I'm going to be partnering up with a very awesome band. A band I like a lot.
Good deal.
Stay tuned for that.
Okay, excellent. Well, Shelby, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and hopefully sometime in the future we can have you back on, and maybe at that point you can tell us how not excited you are.
That's right.
Anymore.
I'll be so over it then.
Yeah, and be like, you know what? I'm going back to Amazon.
It'll be old news. Yeah.
I'm taking the job in New York.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll talk to you on Skype.
It sounds good. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. And you can find our show, of course, on iTunes, Zune Marketplace, the Stitcher app. It's basically, you know, it's Pandora Radio for podcasts on all your mobile devices. And you can find us there. Please give us a thumbs up and leave us a star rating or a short review on iTunes. We really do appreciate that, and it helps us out in the future. So go and find us. Type us in the Air Raid Podcast in iTunes and check it out. And our website, of course, air-raid.net. And we'll be back next week with the band Sea Pony. They're going to be joining us. And boy, you know, let's hope they're not as nasal-gaving. Gazy.
Nasal-gaving.
Man. Yeah.
It's a delicious beer you're drinking.
Yes, it is. Oh, thank you, American Brewing, for getting me drunk every Saturday. All right, we'll be back next week with Sea Pony. And until then, have a great week, everybody.
Where I've always
walking another mile. On high roads in all their minds, all for the sake of